Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the exploration of possibilities, who we are, and the confrontations we can sometimes come upon when we are seeking a higher way, a more truthful way of living. And that's why I'm talking today to Del Bigtree, the producer of Vaxxed. It's a controversial film about vaccinations, childhood vaccination, and it's resulting in autism in many, many cases. Welcome to the program, Del.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you for having me here.
I mean, watching the film, seeing the evidence, it seems like a no-brainer. There is, you know, I have to say, this is not an anti-vaccination film. It's just saying to me that these three vaccinations given at one time to children, under 2 years of age, can, in some cases, lead to autism, a reaction that results in autism. I mean, isn't that basically what you're saying?
That's really the basic gist of it. I mean, it's really incredible that a lot of the media continues to call this film an anti-vaccine movie. They misrepresent really what the film is about. They say that it's about Andy Wakefield. That's not true. This film is about a CDC whistleblower. We have the scientist in charge of, you know, running the data on the study looking at the safety of the MMR vaccine. This took place back in between 2000 and 2004. This whistleblower has come forward and said that they threw out data, manipulated data, you know, all in an effort to make this vaccine seem safe, when what they were seeing, it was a definitive connection between this vaccine and autism. And
MMR. Explain that so people.
So the MMR is the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. It's three live viruses, put into one vaccine. Right. Now, we believe that it's much safer to deliver a singular measles vaccine on its own, you know, several months apart from a singular mumps vaccine and a singular rubella vaccine. So to be called anti-vaccine, what we're is just not true. There's a safer way to deliver these vaccines. The problem is that there are special interests involved in this. There's a pharmaceutical industry that doesn't want to lose the patent. It's all about money right now. Instead of giving parents the option to break this vaccine apart, and safely deliver measles protection. We have tens of thousands of parents, maybe hundreds of thousands of parents across the world, all saying that this specific vaccine, I gave this MMR vaccine to my child, that night they had a seizure, that night they broke out in a major fever, rash all over their body, the next morning they were listless, not making eye contact, and basically lost the ability to walk, lost the ability to talk, and then never came back.
How many children have been affected, would you say, in your estimate?
We know that there's roughly a million children have been affected with autism since this study came out in 2004. That's just the United States.
Oh, wait, you're saying a million children who have taken this vaccine have had some kind of adverse effect?
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. Saying that every autistic child is getting autism from this vaccine. Right. We believe this vaccine is just one of several issues that seem to be affecting these children. What it appears, we have a great doctor in our film, Doreen Grampuchet. Dr. Doreen Grampuchet, who is the premier specialist on autism around the world. And what she's describing as autism is children that lack the ability to detoxify toxins. And so what it appears is happening is just this the perfect storm, you know, probably between, you know, bad GMO food, a lot of pesticides that are now in our food, like glyphosate, which is very problematic. It's being used in Monsanto's Roundup. And then the vaccine comes in and maybe it's the final blow. I mean, there's so many studies that need to be done. What we do know is that the CDC saw that this vaccine in particular was causally linked to autism. There was a dramatic increase in several study groups in the connection between autism if they got this vaccine between 12 and 18 months, if they got it young. If they waited till after 3 years old, the risk of autism was lower.
I felt that there was proof enough that was demonstrated in this film to convince anyone to take those vaccines separately, to take that after 18 months old, that you still want to vaccinate your child. That's a whole other conversation, of course. Right. But so what do you think happened? You think the pharmaceuticals companies came down, and particularly in connection, let's talk about the Tribeca Film Festival and Robert De Niro's reversal. First, he said he wanted to have that conversation, and then he pulled the film from the festival. What do you think really happened there?
Well, I mean, you know, I hate to speculate on something like that. And it's sad that we have to speculate as filmmakers in that festival. If the film's being pulled from the festival, we should have been given a very specific reason why. If they had issues with the film, we'd like to know what those issues are and be allowed the opportunity to redress those issues. Yes. And to show the data that if it's about data, let us show you all of our paperwork. Because obviously this is a film. There is a lot of hard evidence and data and paperwork that back this film up. All evidence provided to us by this whistleblower at the CDC. Right. We have emails and documents and numbers and data that relate to the specific study that was done. And this whistleblower is telling us the CDC threw these documents away. They thought they had hidden this evidence. He has, you know, he's provided it at risk to himself. It's a very courageous move. You can see this data in our film. But back to Tribeca, I can only assume that there are pharmaceutical pressures. This is the most powerful lobby in the United States of America now.
Right.
They are pressuring our public officials to mandate their products across the country. And what people don't realize, this isn't just about measles or polio, things that we're really, you know, are concerned about, and vaccines are part of protecting us. There are 300 vaccines in the pipeline right now. People have to realize that you cannot sue a vaccine company. That's a law that was passed in 1986 that protects them from lawsuits. So they don't care if they hurt our children. They don't care if there's a faulty vaccine in there. And what this film is demanding is transparency. This is the United States of America. This is the health of our children at stake. We want transparency. And what we're seeing in this data that we're being provided by the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, is that they are covering and manipulating data. We don't know why, but there must be some financial connection between the pharmaceutical industry and this health agency. What? So why did Tribeca drop it? You know, Robert De Niro was interviewed yesterday on Good Day New York, and I think if you watch that interview, you can clearly see what we knew for months, which is he loves this film. He stands behind this film. He was pressured from very high up. I don't have anything negative to say about Robert De Niro. This is a man that I think we all respect. He's one of the beloved citizens in this country. He's done, you know, great philanthropic works. And he came out and said, I stand with this film. He let us know that he'd been, you know, had a child at home that was suffering from autism. So he knows very well what this story is about. And then you watched him basically dragged out into, you know, center square and humiliated. I think it's a horrible, horrible
moment. Who humiliated him? Who would you say is that?
Well, I mean, I can only guess. I'm going to have to assume that, you know, there's been a lot of articles written that have done more research than I have on this topic, saying that there were pharmaceutical interests that are involved in the festival that made them pull the film. That's what I've read. I have no proof
of that. Well, that's fine. Let's go to the CDC, because this is really the center of the story. That's the Center for Disease Control, the watchdog agency of the American people, and a whistleblower. What was his name?
Dr. William Thompson.
He comes out, and this is really the essence of the film, saying that the CDC covered up the results of this vaccination and its cause of autism. That's really at the heart of the film, right?
That's the heart of the film. It's one of the most disturbing realizations. We have two congressmen that speak to it, several doctors that support the vaccine until they see this data in our film. This is, you know, shocking, irrefutable data and proof of a massive cover-up, government corruption that is directly affecting the health of our children in a very negative way.
So what is the dates of that CDC cover-up? I mean, and who's in charge of the CDC making those decisions based on your research?
So there was five scientists involved in this study. Mm-hmm. It began right around 2001. And it was only supposed to take 6 months. I mean, scientific studies like this are very simple. They take a group of, in this case, 3,000 children, roughly 700 of them had autism. They just cross-referenced their data when they got vaccinated, things like that. It's just a mathematical computation. You run the numbers, and then you're supposed to just report on what the numbers found.
Right.
So very curiously, this study ended up taking 4 years. And what William Thompson is telling us is they were behind closed doors for years trying to figure out how to throw kids off the study, hide numbers that they were finding. I mean, it's just – and there's it's not just one instance. There's five or six egregious, really – statements and points of fraud. This is scientific fraud. You cannot have a group. Basically, they took 3,000 kids when they saw an African American issue, for instance.
Right.
There was a dramatic increase in autism amongst African American boys who received the vaccine, the MMR, between 12 and 18 months versus after 3 years old. They were 3.56 times more likely to develop autism than if they had just waited until after 3 years old. That's a 256% increase if it's easier to hear it in a percentage.
What was William Thompson, let me just ask you, was he in on that study? Was he one of the...
Not only was he in on the study, he's the statistician. He's the one running all of the numbers. He's the one coming into the room saying, we have a problem, folks. The numbers are coming out, and it's showing dramatic increases in autism in specific groups.
So where does he stand now? So that went, and he realized that this study wasn't released, and is he still with the CDC? What's his status?
He is currently working at the CDC. He last year got whistleblower protection, a status that protects his job so they can't fire him. They've moved him out of the vaccine department. This is something that, you know, for 10 years was eating at him. You'll see emails. They'll try to say that, you know, Thompson just made this up all of a sudden, but you will see in our film actual emails between he and his co-authors that clearly shows he was complaining about the cover-up as it was happening. But the paper came out, this giant cover-up happened, and then he sat there, and you can tell it was just burning in him for 10 years. So then, you know, when I guess he just couldn't take it any longer, he reached out to one of the scientists that has been trying to investigate this for many, many years, Dr. Brian Hooker. He knew that Brian Hooker was a statistician too. And he reached out to Brian and just on the phone began confessing basically his sin, saying, I can't live with myself any longer when I see autistic children. I feel personally responsible. And this relationship started, and he started providing data to Brian Hooker that no one has ever seen, data that was supposed to have been thrown out by the CDC. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible movie. And I think that you can... People should realize it must be an incredible movie when someone is trying to censor it. We have never seen a film censored like this. We just had The Village Voice pull our ads and then send an email blast out to all of their subscribers saying, we do not stand behind this anti-vaccination movie. As I've just told you, it's not an anti-vaccination movie.
And that's clear in the movie that this is not anti-vaccination. But what is the CDC saying now? To you, I'm sure you tried to talk to them about this film and the MMR vaccination.
Yeah, obviously they're saying that none of this is true. I mean, it's the answer you would expect. You'll see a lot in the press saying that William Thompson either does not exist or what he said, he didn't really say these things. I assure you, when you see the film, you will hear Dr. William Thompson make these statements himself. Now, I think it's important to point out that the statements he's made are all based on phone calls that were recorded without his knowledge.
I know, but does he have knowledge now about the film? He does.
Of course, certainly now.
He doesn't appear in the film, does he? Why does he?
Yeah, he, He had to become a whistleblower because those phone calls were basically put out online. At a certain point, after he'd confessed all of these issues and then provided data to Brian Hooker, Brian Hooker started writing papers to medical journals showing this new evidence. And Brian Hooker and Andy Wakefield, who was working on the documentary at that time, felt it would be very dangerous for William Thompson, for William Thompson, once these papers started coming out, because clearly the CDC had a mole. They had someone releasing these classified hidden documents. And so Brian Hooker and Andy Wakefield decided, and they spoke to William Thompson saying, look it, we've recorded four of these phone calls and the statements you made. We're starting to print the data that you provided us. You need to get a lawyer. You need to protect yourself because you're going to be in danger. And at that point, Thompson realized, you know, he'd been recorded. And he has a statement online you can look up that says, I did not know these phone calls were being recorded. But what I said basically stands, and I stand by it, that we, you know, threw out data, manipulated data in order to cover up an autism effect.
Well, let me just ask you, why, how does he feel about the film, and why did you not get him to appear in the film in front of a camera?
We do not know what he feels about the film yet. We're currently working on, you know, trying to... I don't know, maybe he's gone to a theater, I'm not sure. You have to understand that once he got a lawyer and became a whistleblower, he made basically a public statement saying, I am no longer going to talk to any press or any cameras. We asked for an interview. Our understanding, I'm not a lawyer, but what we were told by his legal representation is that he's not a whistleblower for, you know, Philip Morris, a tobacco company, or, you know, a Snickers bar or a Toyota. What he is, he's a whistleblower at the United States government. He works for a government agency. If he just speaks and says what he knows to be true in front of cameras, I believe he could be thrown in jail. I mean, that could be classified information. I don't know if it goes as far as treason, but clearly he is worried about the fact that his statements would be about a government cover-up. And he needs to make those statements in front of Congress. He has requested that the Congress of the United States subpoena him. And he said and told Andy Wakefield and Brian Hooker, both, you know, major players in this, that I will tell the truth when I am on the stand. We are convinced and sure that he is going to. When you hear him in his phone calls, you can hear the relief he feels as he gives this information out.
Right. One more element, though, I just want to pull in, is Dr. Andy Wakefield, who was a British physician, gastrointestinal physician, somehow, and talk about his story about how he goes from gastrointestinal to studying this to then being thrown out of his profession because he made these claims. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to point out that for the last 7 years, I've been a producer on the medical talk show, The Doctors. I do not come to this from, you know, I come from it from a medical science background. I've been celebrating the best that medicine has to offer for the last 7 years.
And medicine does have a lot to offer.
Absolutely. There are great doctors, amazing surgeons, great medicine, so many fantastic things that are helping us live healthier, better lives. But I also would have done stories on Monsanto's glyphosate and things that are poisoning our children. And we watched Monsanto doing much of the same thing, trying to pass laws where organic companies can't claim their food's organic, or you can't say something's non-GMO. I mean, these power, you know, industries are trying to affect our government. Merck and Pfizer and all of these pharmaceutical companies are no different. I really wish people would see that, because there's so many people that come out against GMOs and friends of mine that just seem to think there's no problem with mandating vaccines from a pharmaceutical industry that is making billions of dollars off of them and really don't care whether they're hurting you or not. And in this case, we have a clearly flawed vaccine. So back to Andy Wakefield. Obviously, in order to leave my career and get involved in this story, I saw, when I looked at the data and I saw this, Andy was already working on the documentary, but when I saw these statements by Dr. William Thompson and I saw the data, proof that was backing up what he was saying, I realized This is the biggest story in the world. This is the biggest story in my lifetime. Watergate wasn't poisoning children, you know? So once I saw this story, obviously, working with Andy Wakefield, when you come from a medical journalist background, it ultimately would be career suicide. I'd seen everything that's been said about this man. He's a fraud, baby killer, made up a fake paper, fake documents, all of this. So I investigated that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that has been thrown at this man. But I think one of the things that people don't realize about Andy is that he never came out against vaccines. This paper that was published in The Lancet that's called the fraudulent paper never made the statement that vaccines cause autism, didn't even make the statement that the MMR vaccine
then
caused
why
autism.
Why is so much being thrown at this? Seems like a very decent, concerned doctor. I mean, that's what he appears, and I'm sure he is.
I can tell you that this is probably one of the most decent, one of the most concerned doctors we've ever had. People should ask themselves, if he really had committed fraud, why is he still here?
Yeah.
Would you really spend 10, 15 years of your life continuing to be berated and vilified? Why would you do it? I can tell you he's doing it because he knows the truth. He's trying to save your children. He is trying to stop an epidemic that is out of control. We have gone from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 68 children being born with autism. There was a poll last year that says it's actually 1 in 45 children. And if you talk to specialists looking at it, they said, you know what? It very well could be more like 1 in 25 children.
And we never hear
about it in our news. And these families, this is not an easy issue. The reason we're not seeing it is you can't go out in public with these children once they become teenagers. It's a very, very difficult situation for these families. It's going to bankrupt this nation. The CDC's estimates alone is that it costs $5 million to raise a child with autism. But, and now imagine in this country we have a million of them.
It can't all be from the MMR vaccination. Other factors, but other vaccinations involved. And, of course, you're not saying all vaccinations are bad, but they need to be investigated, and we need to get to the bottom of the cover-up. I mean, you're saying that pharmaceutical companies have put the lives of children their profits ahead of the lives of children.
The very company, Merck, that has made the MMR vaccine and owns the patent, meaning nobody else can protect you from measles but Merck. They have the monopoly in this country. This company had to pay out over $3 billion for Vioxx, a product that caused heart attacks. Their study showed it caused heart attacks. And eventually that came out, and after, more than 50,000 people were killed by their drug, they had to pay a settlement. And I believe they're having to deal with a settlement in other countries around the world on that same drug. Okay. This company has made a flawed vaccine.
Okay, I'm sorry. We were talking about Andy Wakefield, because get back to him a little bit and tell why was he so passionate at the expense of his career, his profession, his life in Britain, everything went.
So I think it's important, just a quick background.
Yeah.
All that happened, Andy was a published scientist, one of the top in his field of gastroenterologist. I think he had between 60 and 100 peer-reviewed papers published. He worked in a scientific body at the Royal Free Hospital. He had just come out with a paper with, I think it was roughly 12 other co-authors, about Crohn's disease. And Crohn's disease and the possible connection it might have to measles virus. And I'm not fully, up on what that whole paper was about. But what happened was an autistic parent reached out to him and said, I would like you to take a look at my son. And he said, I don't know anything about autism. You've called the wrong number. She said, no, the Crohn's disease, this intestinal disease you're talking about, I believe my autistic son has that. He's doubled over in pain, diarrhea, or sometimes weeks of constipation. And Andy thought that was interesting, as did 12 other co-authors on this study. They brought in, and they ended up having 12 families all saying the same thing. Our child has autism, also has this massive gut disease problem, we believe. And so the paper really was just looking at, is there a connection between autism and this novel gut disease?
Right.
And they found that there was. There's a direct intestinal component to autism that is causing a lot of problems for these children. And very interesting thing, during the study, when they would clear the intestines the day before they were going to do a colonoscopy to inspect the intestines, mm-hmm. a lot of the mannerisms, the head banging and the stemming, they call all this repetitive movement, would go away.
Why is that, you think?
Well, I mean, clearly, once their intestines were perfectly clear, they suddenly, a lot of the symptoms of autism started to subside, just momentarily. I mean, it was a shocking discovery.
Yeah.
And it happens to be the one thing that carries on, no matter what they say about Andy Wakefield. Parents all over the world are now starting to bring their child out of autism through diet, through gastrointestinal work, which is really, really fascinating. And the medical establishment doesn't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that Andy Wakefield was right on that. But let's get back to the MMR. So the reason the MMR autism connection came was 8 of these 12 families had all made the statement, our child got autism right after the MMR vaccine. Now, that was just a part of their statement, and this was just a case study. When you do a case study, you have to write everything every doctor has said about the child, everything that's been written, every medication they've had, what the parents' story is. Mm-hmm. It's all a part of trying to figure out what's happening with these children. So 8 of the 12 parents all said the MMR caused autism. Now the paper goes out of its way in the end to say this does not prove a causal relation between the MMR vaccine and autism. More studies should be done on the topic. I mean, clearly it was alarming that you sort of had this consensus around MMR from the parents.
Well, but you just said MMR looked like caused the autism. Isn't that what you said? But there's no conclusive study.
They said it doesn't conclusively prove this, that we believe more studies should be done.
Yeah.
Now, a few things I want to point out. They called this paper the Andy Wakefield fraud.
Yeah.
What I find fascinating about that, and the fact that no journalist seems to want to dig into this, is that there were 12 co-authors on this paper, on this study, all top-ranking scientists in their field, including John Walker Smith, the pediatric gastroenterologist involved in the study. Now, all 12 of these scientists had to read every word in this paper. They were involved in doing some of the colonoscopies and the intestinal biopsies. They were a part of this study, and as a peer-reviewed paper, they had to go through every word of the study and sign their name to it and say, yes, Andy, this is my part of it. I agree with all of this. Mm. Not one of the other scientists currently has had, is without a license. John Walker Smith just won his appeal case. He was the only one, he and Andy, that had their license pulled. John Walker Smith just got his back, and the judge berated the system and how it went about attacking these fine doctors.
Well, that should be in your film. I don't think I saw that in the film.
Well, as I said, this is not an Andy Wakefield film.
Right.
It's not about it. Had it been about Andy Wakefield, we could get into all of that. We think it's much more pertinent that this year, new information, we don't want to talk about an old study,
right.
New information coming out this year proves that this MMR vaccine is causally linked to autism. And they know it, and they hid that fact.
Wait, they're still giving the MMR vaccine to children under 18 months. Is that what you're saying?
That is when they prefer to give it. The CDC's recommended schedule is to get the MMR between 12 and 18 months. Your doctor calls you, says, it's time to come in. Your child's now a year old. You need to get this vaccine. And it happens to be the most dangerous time to deliver this vaccine. It's insane.
And you can't get separate vaccines anymore.
You cannot. That is one of the demands we are making. We're trying to get citizens behind making that demand that they make the singular measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines available immediately. I don't see why that's too much to ask. These vaccines are being made separately. They're just mixed together at the end. So just give us the opportunity. Those of us that are concerned, Not everybody has to. You can do whatever you want. I'm not telling you not to use the MMR. I'm just saying I personally, for my own children, would like to have a singular measles vaccine because there's not a single person that I know of, a single parent, that has said the single measles vaccine caused autism. Wait, it's only the MMR.
Why aren't they doing this? I don't understand. It seems very, very simple. Why aren't they doing that, you feel?
I mean, I can only assume, that it's finding. I think there's two reasons. Number one, if they sort of break it up, then they're admitting that we were right. I think that there's a fear that we're going to end up showing a weakness around our stand behind the MMR vaccine. And secondly, if this vaccine is broken up into single measles, mumps, and rubella, Merck will lose its patent on the vaccine. It becomes much more like a generic. Everybody can jump into the game, and they don't. They lose. They stand to lose. Millions, possibly billions of dollars
on the MMR. But if it's individual, they don't have a patent on it.
They don't have a patent on it.
And so Merck obviously is somehow connected with the CDC, right? I mean,
well, here's what we do know. Yeah. We do know that the head of the CDC, Dr. Julie Gerberding, who was the head of the CDC while this very study was going on the MMR, Merck's MMR, after working at the CDC for many, many years, she ultimately transferred over and is now became the head of Merck's vaccine department.
Well, I guess you tried to interview her, didn't you? And she...
Of course we have. We've tried to interview Julie Gerberding, Dr. Julie Gerberding, and all of the other scientists that were involved in this study, and all of them have declined.
Well, yeah, you make a really good point that it goes from government services to corporations to policymakers, and there doesn't seem to be anyone watching it. I mean, I hope your film starts an investigation that's needed to protect the children of the world, really.
That's all we're trying to make happen here. I mean, really, this is more than just a story about a one vaccine that's flawed. This is really, I think Americans are wising up to this. You look at the success of Spotlight, the movie, which, it took a lot of work to unearth this story of priests and the abuse of children. The Big Short, another great movie, up for an Academy Award. We see that the government basically colluded, with the banking industry and robbed the entire middle class of their homes and their money.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the success of Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, you're seeing a growing body of people in this country that no longer believe that this government of ours is by the people. This was supposed to be a system where we are being represented, that the citizens of this country are represented. And what we're seeing more and more is that the corporations of this country are being represented. And in this instance, we aren't just losing money. We aren't just losing our houses. We aren't, we are losing our children, these beautiful children, many of them perfectly healthy, walking, talking, up to 1 year old. Then they get this flawed vaccine, and we never have them again. They're never going to go to college. They're never going to have the future we want them to have. They become a burden to their families and their siblings, and no one can move. And all of this because we have allowed this pharmaceutical industry into our government, into a government agency that is supposed to be looking out for our health.
It's awful.
Awful.
The CDC is a government agency that's here to protect the health of the American people. The Center for Disease Control.
That's right. I mean, I think,
and who
people would say, is it a big conspiracy? I don't know how this happened. I mean, look it. The CDC's original job was to promote vaccines in America. I mean, that's what they're really there for, to make sure that everybody's vaccinated and everybody stays healthy and up to date on their vaccines. That's their primary goal. Now, if you imagine, then they're handed the job of testing vaccines. That's a real conflict of interest if you think about it. If they're supposed to be promoting vaccines all over the country, now all of a sudden they see that one of their vaccines has a flaw in it and it may actually be dangerous to children. What are they going to do? If they come out and say, hey, there's a flaw in this vaccine, I believe they really feared that there would be a fear of vaccines in general.
But that's their job. If one vaccine is flawed, you pull that and replace it with
and
a vaccine
it.
That isn't flawed.
Uh-huh.
Well, who makes the appointment? How does the CDC get its, administration? Who appoints these people for the CDC? Where does that come from?
I don't know the full answer to that. I don't know how they're appointed. I do know that, the IOM, the Institute of Medicine, basically takes what the CDC says, and they sort of work hand in hand with the CDC. CDC is under the Health and Human Services Department.
Right, I see.
And so it's a division of the Health and Human Services Department. The IOM sort of takes what they learn from the CDC and then talk to government about maybe how to regulate things and further testing they want to do. So that's a whole part of a system designed, supposed to be designed for our health. And what I say is this, people say, are you saying all doctors are united, all doctors are poisoning? No. I mean, what we're seeing here is all of our pediatricians and all of our doctors have been lied to the same way we've been lied to.
Right.
This isn't a bunch of people involved in it. This was five people in a room that made a decision for all of us. Who was controlling them? Who was telling them what to do? I have no idea.
Well, but obviously Merck is involved because Merck has a lot to lose if the MMR vaccine is split up. And how much money would you say they have to lose if they do lose their patent? How many children a year get this vaccination?
Those are all very good questions. Yeah. I don't have, I don't have all of that data on hand. Those aren't sort of the numbers we get into in the film.
Right.
I can tell you though that the future of vaccines. If you look at Merck, has this vaccine Gardasil. This is really coming under fire right now, and it's not a part of our film, but I think it speaks to where we're going. People need to realize that the future of the pharmaceutical industry is reliant on vaccines. It's becoming far too expensive to create new drugs, so it appears that they're trying to get these things labeled and put out as vaccines. Number one, you don't have to test the vaccine as rigorously as you have to test a drug. Surprisingly enough, it doesn't have to go through big double-blind experiments, long-term safety studies. They're able to just rush these things right on the market, which is just horrific if you think about the fact that it's going into infants. We spent far more money, far more time on Viagra, which basically is being used by, older people, than we ever spent on a vaccine that we're putting into sometimes a one-day-old baby. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But let's look at Gardasil. Gardasil is being recommended for 9 to 26-year-old people, men and women in America. That's the CDC's recommendation. That group is roughly, I think, 70 million people. If as they want to mandate vaccines for everybody. It's starting with children. We just had a law passed in California. They're working on mandating vaccines so that you don't have a choice nationwide. And then it's moving on to adults. We've just seen the VA is now sort of making that veterans can't get their insurance without being vaccinated. So it's coming to a theater near you. They are going to be vaccinating you. So let's imagine that they are able to mandate through the government that you have to get this Gardasil vaccine, okay?
What does that do? What does that vaccinate you against?
It's supposed to protect against HPV, which has been linked to a tiny percentage of women who get cervical cancer, like 2%. It's a totally useless vaccine. It's never proved it can do what it can do, and it's being outlawed all over the world right now. In Europe, they're thinking of outlawing it. Japan, because it's killing girls, it's paralyzing girls. In fact, one of the women, one of the doctors that was involved in the safety testing came out last year and said exactly that. We're killing girls. This is a dangerous vaccine. But if this vaccine is mandated across the country for all 9 to 26-year-olds, Merck would make $30 billion in 1 year.
Wow. That's all they really care about, isn't it?
I don't even think the oil industry has seen the type of cash boom that the pharmaceutical industry is looking at with their 300 new vaccines. These new designer vaccines are going to be very expensive, and they are going to make them trillions of dollars. And that's what's at stake. They will defend this MMR vaccine till the end of time because they don't want you to realize that they don't care about your health.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great service you're doing to the American people. I mean, this is important. It's important to be said. It's important to be looked at each of these vaccines for children and see, are they dangerous? Are they helpful? How can we take them better? How can it be? And the whole idea about pharmaceutical companies controlling our health, it's just insane. It's just doesn't make any sense, especially that's what the government's there for, is to regulate these. Anyway, what's your hope for this film, and what's the future look like for you?
Right. So, you know, the goal of the film was always to get it into theaters. There's been a lot of great films like it, talking about vaccines, that sort of just speak to this grassroots level group of people that, you know, either have a vaccine in your child or want vaccine choice. My goal, the reason I left the television show that has been delivering medical information to millions of people, was I want millions of people to see this. I want people to realize that you are the only one that's going to stand up for your child's health. That clearly right now the government agency in charge of this is not doing their job. We need to get together. So I want, you know, right now we're at the Angelika Theater in New York City. They've given us the opportunity to show the film. The film was a massive hit this weekend. We had crowds filling the theater. We're going to be opening at the Lemley in Santa Monica on April 15th. Mm-hmm. And we're continuing to talk to other theaters all around the country. There's fear around this. I'm not gonna lie. There's a lot of threats that come down to the theaters when they decide to run this film. I mean, we have a multi-billion dollar industry at stake, and they are hiring people and trolls and you name it to attack anyone that decides to show this film. We have never seen anything like this. Wow. We have never seen basically every newspaper in the country wrote terrible reviews as soon as they found out we were at Tribeca before they even saw the film. I mean, that should be suspect right there. Why is a film being reviewed before it's been seen? Where is that coming from? And now we have these articles that attack Andy Wakefield, and all I can say is that's a whole other movie, and I stand, you know, behind Andy Wakefield, and truthfully, we lost one of the great scientific minds of our time. This man was going to make vaccines safer. He, you know, and people ask me, why was he the only one of the 12 that lost his license? Of all of the, or the 13 scientists that were on this paper, why him? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. He was the only one that was not going to stop. After he heard these parents make this claim, he began doing studies and investigating larger studies, 250 children and more, primate studies, saying we have got to look at what this MMR is doing. It was going to cost the pharmaceutical industry a lot of money. They were going to have to fix this vaccine. It appears it was much easier just to destroy his career. Wow. And it's had a multiplied effect. One of the sad things about making this documentary for me as a filmmaker is the number of doctors that have said to me as I've gone out trying to get interviews, they'll say to me, Del, I know that, you know, this vaccine is causing autism, but I will not say it on camera because the pharmaceutical industry will destroy my career. I have had doctors literally say this, I do not want to get Wakefielded. This industry has bullied our doctors, it's bullied our media, and now it's bullying the film centers and the newspapers that are reporting on this film. If you want to stay in control of America, if we want as citizens, I mean, look, I'm just a journalist. Yeah. A journalist's job is to ask the questions that society and should be asking, digging deeper into what you don't know. And if we can't ask these questions, we have to seriously question the health of our democracy.
No, I agree. And yes, it comes out in The Big Short and in films like this. I mean, it's all coming to the surface. We do have to question the health of our democracy. And I think this is a brilliant attempt to question that. And thank you for putting this out. I know you, Wakefield, are passionate about this subject, not for yourself, but because this is a huge issue that affects children, innocent children.
Innocent children. I left a great job from a great show. I love the doctors. It was wonderful working on it. But this story was too important and needed too much time. It needed too much work to be done. It needed to be done right. And we have done it right. If people see this film, they're going to understand it. They're going to get it. And it's scary. It's a scary realization to find out that the health of our children is not apparently the concern of the Centers for Disease Control. We immediately want testing taken out of the CDC. I mean, that's what people say. Is it just the MMR? I don't know.
Yeah.
Our film is about one vaccine because it's the only vaccine that we now have data and proof of manipulation of a study. But that clearly says that the CDC is incapable of this job they've been given of testing the safety of our vaccines. So we want all of them tested immediately. And we want them tested just as rigorously as every drug that we take. I don't think that's a lot to ask. I don't think that's an anti-vaccine statement. That's an intelligence statement.
Yeah, I never thought that vaccines weren't tested like drugs. It seems like
neither did I.
Right.
I mean, it was just shocking to me to discover that.
Wow. Well, thank you, really, again, for your time, for the efforts in putting the truth out there and trying to make a difference. And let's hope the film is seen by as many people as possible, but also that it makes a difference. You know, that it really...
Just I want everyone to know we are working very hard to get this film to you. I know there's frustration that is taking time. We're up against a very big machine, just making it slow. It's not going to be stopped. We will get this to the people. Right now it's theater by theater. Ultimately, if we, you know, we are trying to figure out the best way to get it to everybody, not just the people that understand this, but the people that don't. We all need this story right now.
Well, I think Robert De Niro did you a great service by making it, putting it in the spotlight and making it an issue. I mean, unfortunately, it wasn't shown, but it's gotten a much greater reception because of all the press.
Yeah, I mean, I still would have loved to have been in Tribeca. I think that's a great festival. As a filmmaker, it's something that you sort of dream about. It's something you work for your whole life. Right. And I think they've done a great disservice to that festival. Mm. It's now got a mark of censorship on it that I don't think it will ever shirk.
But it did a great service for the film. I think it really, really did. And
I hope you're right. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of negative energy around it. It has made it visible.
Yeah.
You know, that's for people to decide. And let's see. Let's see if people actually come out and decide to not fear what's in this film, but see what's in it and see for themselves. Do not let your newspapers and your media and the fear being, you know, driven by the pharmaceutical industry, do not let it tell you what to think. Or what to say, or in this case, what to see. Please, the health of our democracy is at stake. If we let these industries, you know, burn their talking points into our mind to the point where we refuse to look at new evidence, then the history for this country is a very, very scary realization.
Well, let's hope there's some congressional hearings where people like Thompson can come before Congress and talk about what goes on behind the closed doors at the CDC. I mean, that's what I think the ultimate goal of a film like this is.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too much to ask. We have a whistleblower asking for a year and a half now to be brought before the Congress. Congressman Bill Posey in Florida just last July stood before the Congress with all of the data you will see in our film and even more statements because he has interviewed Thompson. He could legally do it. He works for the Congress.
Right.
He stood before the Congress in July and said, "We have a real problem here. One of our top scientists has given me data and proof of fraud. He's telling us they're throwing out data. They're manipulating numbers on a vaccine that's hurting our children." He literally ends the statement.
And then what happened? He stood in front of Congress and said that, and then what happened?
Nothing. Nothing happened. Not only has the Congress now, 7 months later, not called Thompson in, what's even more scary for me as a journalist is not a single journalist, not a single newspaper, not a single news station thinks that this is a story.
How is
this not a story worth telling? We have a very real scientist at the CDC risking his life, risking his career to say, "We're committing fraud in here." And Rachel Maddow doesn't care. Anderson Cooper doesn't care. I mean, nobody seems to care.
Have you talked to Amy Goodman at Democracy Now?
We're trying to get Amy Goodman. She's not responding
really?
To our calls. I don't know why. This is a major issue, Amy. I mean, this is something that needs to be investigated. Everyone knows. We've only made a film. Yeah. We can only go so deep. We only have the information we have. We can only ask the questions. The court of law has to dig deeper into what Thompson is saying, and they need to send an investigation into the CDC immediately.
Yeah.
But if Democracy Now! Doesn't step up, if these organizations don't step up and say, "Hey, there's a very real whistleblower right now who needs to be heard by the Congress. Whether what he's telling is the truth or not, that's for the Congress to decide.
Right.
And that's not going to happen if people don't stand up and call Amy Goodman and call your news organizations and say, come on now, enough is enough. This is clearly a story. It's not an anti-vaccine story. It's a safety of vaccine story. Yeah. And our journalists need to get back and do their job. Do your job. Join me, please. Please, investigate.
I think it will happen. I mean, I like what Amy Goodman said. I don't know why she is not getting back to you, but let's hope her and a lot of other people tune in and get the story out there. It's just,
I agree.
Just
I
the
agree.
Truth. Thank you, Del.
Thank you, Alan.
I've been talking to Del Bigtree, and the website for the film is what?
The website is VaxxedTheMovie.com. That's Vaxxed with two X's, TheMovie.com.
Thanks again. I appreciate it, and I know you're busy doing lots of interviews, and it's kind of exciting in a way because you're so passionate, and it's simple. The truth is always simpler than the lies. Right.
And I mean, that's really Occam's razor, isn't it? Yeah. The simplest answer is usually the true one. This is a very simple answer. We have tens of thousands of families all telling the same story. I mean, if you think about it, we have four brake pedals stick in a Toyota. They recall every car.
Right.
3 weeks ago, they found a piece of plastic in a Snickers bar, and they recalled every Snickers bar around the world. We have tens of thousands of parents saying, this vaccine took my child away.
Mm-hmm.
We can no longer ignore those stories. It's gone way beyond anecdotal.
Right.
The numbers are far too large. We cannot ignore these parents anymore, especially when we have a scientist with the most important study that had all of us believing this vaccine was safe. This scientist is saying this study is a fraud.
Well, just one more point. Of course, if it's recalled, that does give those parents a right to sue the pharmaceutical company, the CDC, their doctor. I mean, which they should, because they're all at fault. But yeah, it opens a huge lawsuit. And
you would think. I mean, that's for lawyers to decide, and the people that are in harm's way and have been injured by this vaccine to decide. Mm-hmm. I certainly think, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is protected from lawsuit. That's something our government has done. I'd like to see that protection brought away. The pharmaceutical industry should be paying for these children, not the taxpayers of the United States of America.
Thanks, Del.
Thank you.
Del Bigtree. Good luck. It's already making an impact on people. So it's going to keep growing, I think, as the story gets bigger and bigger. So I think it's a great thing you've done. Thanks.
I appreciate it. And I thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being a journalist. Thank you for, you know, asking appropriate questions. That's all we should be doing in this country right now. That's all journalists should be doing. Please just ask the appropriate questions. They're going to lead to answers. And just because those answers are uncomfortable, we can't avoid it. That's our job.
It's obvious in the film. These are the facts, and it's clear. So, okay, we'll be in touch. And thanks for everything. And
thank you,
Alan. I'm glad you're working with Donna Schumann, who really makes these things happen. Okay.
Absolutely.
Talk to you.
Take care.
Bye.